Meanwhile, her case is tied up on appeal. Anytime she applied, she was referred to the Langston School until the sham law school ran out of funds and they actually closed their doors June 30th, 1949.
There was only 2 weeks left before the school would have run out of money, but the summer session had already begun, and I think that's when the courage of Dr. Cross should be recognized, that he, risking violation of the Oklahoma law, told the admissions officer to go ahead and admit my mom. You know, if people had been really wanting to get him, they could have gotten him for breaking the law at that time. He let her in.
Yeah, he even overstepped not only the state courts, but even his own Board of Regents. And he ordered her admission to be accepted on June 17th. Mm-hmm. And so she attended then 2 weeks late in an 8-week summer session.
She would always talk about the fact that had it not been for the white men in law school, she would have never made it because she walked in 2 weeks late, had no books, no nothing. And this was during the time when the separate but equal rule was still trying to be adhered to. So in her case, it was a little different from George McLaurin's case. Mom said that they were sitting in classrooms that were a theater-style classroom. Her most memorable recollection was that they brought all the white students down to the front of the class. And at the very back of the class, they put one chair with a sign over it saying colored. When she came into the classroom and looked around, and she scanned the way the setup was and saw that chair with colored in it, she realized that that was her spot, and so she had to march up the steps and sit in the colored chair. And that's where she began her law school study. But during that summer session of 1949, she was not only the only African-American in law school, she was the only woman in law school. OU had other women in school at the time, but during the summer session, they were not in the class. So Mom was the only one there that summer. But the men would take her outside under the shade trees and tutor her and share their books with her and their notes with her and help her get caught up. She would not have made it, she says, had it not been for those guys.
You just think, oh, victory, victory, victory. And even to think, oh, I get to go into that classroom now and then see that colored sign.
Here we go again.
Her instructor was Maurice Merrill, who had represented the state in opposing her admission and was going to lecture her on the meaning of the American Constitution. According to her, he actually became a favorite of hers.
I remember taking Mom to a dinner. At the dinner was Professor Merrill. He became one of her favorites. And her and Dr. Cross were always attending banquets and things together. He was a real special guy to her. She knew that he had done everything he could.
Yeah. But as I understand it, somehow she never escaped the feeling of isolation. I mean, some persons actually question the ability of blacks to cope and advance in the white academic arena. So she felt this, didn't she?
Yeah.
And when she would go to an empty classroom to study, she sat in the front rows. And then when class was to begin, the white students came in and climbed the rows. So then she'd climb the rows to go back up into the colored seat.
And there would be times when she would walk in and the colored sign that was above her chair would be removed. What happened is some of the students would come in and take the sign down and throw it away and have to put the sign back up again and all kind of things.
Can you imagine climbing the stairs to sit in that colored chair?
No.
None of us could know that feeling. But she climbed for a lot of people.
Yeah.
It wasn't just her.
Yeah. But here's also the time in which she recognized everything everybody else had done to help her get there. And that isolation you're talking about refers not only to physical isolation, but the fact that all of the hundreds of people that supported her, it was her job now to graduate. It was her job to succeed at this point.
And she failed her first test.
Yeah. That was the last one she failed.
Yeah, right.
Except for the other one, which was the first time she took the bar.
I just want to read just a little bit again from her autobiography. This is her. African Americans have traditionally been subjected to prejudice and bigotry. We've been stereotyped as Aunt Jemima, Sapphire, Uncle Tom, and Sambo. We have sat at the back of buses and up front in curtained off cubbyholes on trains. We have climbed stairs to the balcony in theaters. Whites only, water fountains, and restrooms were everywhere. We have cleaned, cooked, and entertained in clubs and restaurants in which we could not be served. We were relegated to lowest level and lowest paid jobs. Last hired, first fired. We fought to defend our country and make the world safe for democracy in a segregated army. We traded in stores that in some places did not permit us to try on the dresses and hats that we were purchasing.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your mother's words. Man, it's got to make you feel proud. Strong, strong words. Mm-hmm.